Check, check, check. How we look? How we looking? We good?
Hey, what's good, folks? How y'all doing? How
what's
y'all
good,
doing
world?
Tonight?
Hey.
We're here for another episode of Future Perfect.
Impromptu intro.
Facts. Episode 48, episode 6 for Future Perfect Radio. I don't know how long I'm going to keep that up. But, listen, we got a dope show for you tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of the climate as far as, you know... never mind. Forget that.
Forget
we got some gaming news. We have a ton of music to talk about, too. And we got some new music from Byron and myself this week. So let's actually get into that new Byron from that 7 days, six nights, If This World Were Mine. And then we'll be right back.
He just dropped.
Facts. Let's get into that, John.
If this world were mine, I would place at your feet all that I own. You've been so good to me. If this world were mine, if this world were mine,
gave a fuck until I turned positive that all my niggas in my circle trying to hurt you, getting caught up, seeing the same struggles every day. Mine in the clouds, see my body afloat, just a vessel on this river of life. Burdens feeling like the weight of the world is up on my shoulders. I push it up off me, ain't nobody stopping me, I'm just moving on. Good morning, you're in the presence of champions. I'm doing what I gotta do. Attitude determine my latitude, so watch this youngin' in his group. Every day up in the struggle, tryin' hustle. Even my bitch stormy shade, fucking another nigga lame. See, shit is crazy in this world, but still I'm moving absurd. Middle finger to these haters for sure. Tryna take this paper out of my circle. See, my family first, MOB. Money over bitches in my world.
Life you hear, there's levels to this shit, right? Like heaven or hell, the difference between freedom and jail. Papa was a rolling stone, beating mama at home with the cocaine in the crevice of his index thumb. As he told me, son, you will never find yourself in. The last thing you'll ever be is king. See your places in the street like the sluts you fuck. And the niggas you look up to are not it true. You entitled into your own opinion, but watch the tree blossom through the cracks of the concrete where fiends like you sleep. As I walk past the corner stores selling you dreams, peace pipe fly on these angels' wings. Life's great, I came up, put my name up, changed the game up, ha. Living and loving life, yeah, see I'm living and loving life.
Tax narcotics, all exotic shit. When I die, I need a sarcophagus. Wrap me in my rap sheets.
We be in the field more than track meet. My shit's bumping in your face like it's acne. True shit.
Yeah.
I'm on my cake and eat it too shit. You gotta push them in their pocket like a pull stick. Make them tour Houston from the Windy City. I introduce you to the Rocket for that bullshit. This the initiation,
yeah.
This ain't rap, this a dissertation. The context of the contents in my mind resonates with all the convicts, ducking Crown Vicks.
Gotcha.
This shit is nonsense, what they hating they core. What they hating us for, steady ducking the force. Till they kicking the door, and they don't find shit. Trying to read it's like fine print, but they can't find prints. Like Purple Rain missing, I got green, it's no salad. If I drop keys, then call Khaled. We all got knees, there's no balance.
Never.
Rather than challenge me over fallacy, save yourself the agony. Eyes swollen up like it's allergies. Don't let these suits have you sucking.
Come on.
Dress for business, but we move like instruction.
Swinging.
We with the ratchet like it's tools of destruction.
Clank.
The latest fabrics got me smooth at the function.
Woo!
Sure to try to wear me out, but I'm not closed.
Nah.
Dipping for the cheese like I'm nachos.
Yeah.
Bumping in the whip like some potholes.
Yeah.
Whatever you need, boy, we got those. Arm to the teeth like we snot nose.
Get it? Get it? You ever like blow your nose in your arm? Never mind, you got it. Luxury tax.
All right, and we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Future Perfect. I go by the name of Tax, if you don't already know. To my left, I got my man, Byron the Poet.
What up, what up? It's okay, you can quote it. How y'all doing this evening?
I also got my right hand, Zan, with the lean. My lad.
Wait, what? Ayo, it's your boy. You already know what it is.
Yo, the absolute dopest people kicking it about music, gaming, and all the other dope shit in the world. Welcome back, guys. How was your week?
You know, I can't complain. I can't complain. It's been, but it's definitely been a weird week. I'm wondering if, like, Mercury's in retrograde or something, you know?
It's, my week's again. It's been a pretty good week for me, I'd say.
Yeah.
You think there's something in the water? I'm just going back. My man said, I meant something about Mercury being in retrograde. What you mean, bro?
So have you ever heard like the saying Mercury being in retrograde? It's like this idea that during this period, which can last anywhere between a week to, you know, 10 days, basically like communication between people becomes fucked up. Like literally, you know, you may send an email to somebody and they completely take it out of context when typically you two have a great working relationship, or you're in a meeting and you think you're being clear, but nobody in the room is really like listening or hasn't caught your message because like they hung on one word or something like that. Or like there's basically during this period, right, of Mercury being in retrograde, miscommunications are common. And it's because there's a time, it's a positioning, of course, you know, not to go into the astrology of it all, but based on this positioning in the sun, it creates a friction. You know, Mercury's positioning in the against the, where it is against the sun, it creates a friction, and we feel that energy from that friction, and it disrupts communications.
So it's like bad vibes, kind of just radiating all around?
It's not bad vibes, it's purely just, you know, purely just like miscommunications. So during this period of time, like it's extremely important to be like very clear and being very empathetic, because in particular, this is a time where you can miscommunicate, like, you know, even with the simplest things. Like if you said, hey, you know, go wash these dishes, and you're thinking, go wash those dishes right now. And that other person is like, well, I'll get to him when I get to him. But you may have thought you were being very literal about it, but it doesn't happen in that way.
Oh, damn. There, I thought it was just cold outside. I thought it was just brick. People would be like that. That gave me something to look into.
Yeah, but I feel like I learned something new.
Your words with Byron, bro.
Anyways.
Yo, dog, I can see it, dog. It might be a new cover of Reading Rainbow, but it's going to be with words with Byron, dog. Comes with your own cardigan. Nah, that's Mr. Rogers, might be. You get a sweater, though. Facts.
Comes with, like, Some beard oil.
All right, let's not go any further because I think I see the Mercury retrograde right here. I mean, I was trying to
shout out to the Muslims in Philly who be selling the joints on the corner.
Yeah. Facts. What about you, Zayn? How's your week?
Real talk. It's been brick outside. The change in weather has been severe. I busted out the scarf today for those who can see us. But you can't because, you know, we're shooting this right now. But you'll see it soon. You see the footage. But, yeah, I had to pull out the scarf. That's serious. That's like level 2 of how cold it is outside. Once the gloves are out, it's pretty much winter.
Look, this is all, like, winter masquerading as fall right now. That's basically what's happening. Like, those couple days where we thought we was getting some sunshine, winter was wearing, like, its wolf suit when we were all sheep. And it just popped out on us, like, right now. Like, yeah, I got you, bitch.
Yeah, like, it's a force, yo. Like, it felt like last week I was, like, sweating in a hoodie. Now, like, I got to wear extra bundles and stuff like that. Like, I hate this, yo. If winter trying to slap box, I'm with it.
Chill out, yo. Winter got hands. Don't say that freely, man.
Real talk. Winter got hands.
Winter got hands out here.
I'm built for it, dog.
They're literally bricks. It's like straight, like, project housing bricks. Like legit, each hand.
I'm built, dog. I'm not worried about it. I'm raised on project heat. We got this.
All right, man. Yo, I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just going to be there for support. And if you need that, you know, that quick Uber to the hospital. You know, feel me?
Okay.
Because no one's getting no ambulance out here. Getting that Uber to the hospital.
Look, at the end of the day, right, like, it's we're in a place in time, right, where global warming is a real thing. But I also want to say, man, like, look, you know, I know this is, like, a slight tangent off script, but, like, we're also in a place where, like, it's really fucking cold. And people talk about global warming, but at the end of the day, look, the world heats and cools. And if you live north of the equator, it's likely that you still going to be cold as fuck, even if the world warms up.
I was about to say facts. I was like, if I was like you know? Slightly more ignorant, I wouldn't believe in global warming. I'm like, see how cold it is outside? Where's the warming at? I wouldn't, like, I'm glad I'm not that ignorant.
Yeah, like, I got the Tim's out today, so it's pretty brick.
Pretty brick. All right, let's talk like we got some sense. So today was election day. For those, you know, who registered and voted, good for you, being good citizens and all. Which brings us to one of our topics today. For those who don't know, Elizabeth Warren has been in the news as of late for a lot of things about, you know, potentially running for 2020 presidency. But mostly, well, let's just say the world's biggest quotation marks, she claims to be Native American.
What the fuck?
Let's just jump right into it.
Listen, as a person being like a third, more than a third, Native American, and can actually trace my tribes, go hang out with the chiefs. One of the chiefs of the tribes is actually one of my cousins. Shout out to the Maharan tribe in North Carolina. Like, that's kind of like offensive because you're purely pulling this card for political reasons. Like to rally or to rally a voting base.
Yeah.
And that to me is like fuckery. That pisses me off,
actually. Especially the voting base it's kind of one of the hardest groups to pull to your side, pull to anyone's side.
Like, yeah.
Native American population.
And for me, I'm just like, you know, I'm sure as a Native American, like, and having Native American friends, like, and then even Native American family members, part of us, I'm sure, are calling bullshit on this. The other part, you know, the casino building part of us is probably very opportunistic in this moment and like, all right, so what you gonna give us? You know what I mean? Like, where's the leverage here?
Obviously, you're trying to bargain. You know? Opening with a, hey, I'm also part Native American. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it bothered me a little bit too because like there was stuff like a couple years back about how like she would like throw that on like applications to things like that she was Native American, and then it comes out that you're like one of like 1,024th Native American.
Yo, what is that as a decimal? Like, does anybody have that? I'm up to it. Like, I think 1 over 1,024 sometimes doesn't do it justice. I'm about to literally, I'm doing it right now. Because I heard this, I had to, my face.
That's literally like 0.00097. You know what I mean? Like, that's a really
far. I'll do her a favor. I'll round it up. 98. I rounded it up. There's a 6. I rounded it up. 0.00098% Native American.
So you're not even a full person.
Nah, she's not.
Not even close to a full person.
So what's the point, right? Like, that's the big question, right? What was the point of it all?
Well, let me give context, right? I forever am going to tell women that I am a millionaire because 1,024th of $1 million is $976. And I get that every 2 weeks at least. So by that logic, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm a fractional, you know, fractional of a millionaire. I'm not giving you exact numbers, but just know, fractional.
But I'm a fraction of a millionaire. To my man's point, like, look, I'm a millionaire. I mean, look, if we calling each other Native Americans and blacks and like, yo, shout out to the chick from the NAACP who played that off.
That's for a couple what reminded years. Me, Rachel Dolezal. That reminded me of that shit too.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, all I'm saying is if we can pull that shit off, I can totally pull off being a millionaire.
Fam, I have more white in me than she has Native American, and I am not getting embraced at any Klan rally. They are still calling me like,
nah, they calling you a nigger.
ER and everything.
Nah, with the RA, dog.
Exactly.
With the R, nigger.
Like, bruh. They're not sparing me for, like, the bit of white that I happen to have in me.
Nigger, that's wild. Sounds like a pharmaceutical product, man. It's like, get your sample of nigger today. Don't forget to speak to your doctor. And I'm like, what? I was like, don't take with alcohol after 7 p.m. I'm like, yeah, nigga. And then like, no, that gentle voice, nigga. Like, I just, that's all I hear. That's why I hear that. Oh, I just see, like, the most, like, softest, calmest, like, drug commercial.
Though. I can't.
That's how they get it. All those commercials are mad calm. I'm not even going to go on a tangent. I'm just going to say it. They're all mad, like, they make it sound mad inviting. It's
they
like,
do. Yes. I mean, they totally do. And then they tell you how you may develop gout. And
the wildest, like, you may grow a on your hand. I'm like, what? Yeah. But the way you're saying it doesn't sound so bad.
You may grow a third testicle, but that's okay. Just call your doctor, and your doctor will prescribe you Zanzanac.
Yo, I'm just saying. That's just how it sounds to me when I hear Negro, dog. I'm like, sounds like I need to talk to my doctor. My excuse me.
Side effects are like low credit score and like.
Well, we won't go there. We won't go there.
Hey, unable to get a mortgage.
Damn.
Bad credit.
Find yourself susceptible to. Nah, that's up a
systematic compression.
Profiling by the cops at stop lights when you actually stop.
This was supposed
to be the
roast of Elizabeth Warren, our Native American sister.
Listen, like, right? I, the whole point was like the proof she had some kind of Native American heritage to Trump, but I wouldn't even count that. You're not a full percent. Like, it's not fair to like a Native American, like we were alluding to earlier, like the Rachel Dolezal thing. It's like, yo, like if she came out, she's like. Good word, my nigga. Like, we both black. Like, I'm like, schnaw. Schnein.
Like, I know, you have to flip this.
Nine.
You have to flip that on her real quick.
I'm like, I don't know where you're getting this from. So, like, whatever. Nah. Politics are going to politic. Politicians are going to politic. That's what it is.
It's kind of, it's sad, though. It's sad that, you know, we've come down to this. And, I mean, I think, above all things, man, I think it just, it's a good segue into everything else. Like, this is a very divisive time that we live in, but it's great for those in power because it's never been a time where things can be more targeted. You know what I mean? Like, everyone is like so siloed into their social groups that it's so easy to now target people with messages that you know will resonate. And for people that are, you know, elite or you know, affluent or even just attuned to the dynamics of power, this is a perfect time for people to prey on people who are more ignorant, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, let's quickly get into the developments with Weinstein before we go on a break. So, with Weinstein, one of the sexual assault charges got dropped due to evidence that suggested that it was consensual. And I read something today that, like, one of the prosecutors definitely suggested that one of the other people delete information that could exonerate Weinstein from these sexual assault cases. How you guys feel about that?
Man, that shit is crazy. I mean, look, we just saw our man Bill go to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, look, in the evidence, and the evidence was really, really dicey. He got off, and then they still found a way to convict him, and he went to jail. Now he's doing time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look, all I can say is, I guess he checked all the boxes, right? He was Jewish, he was white, he was rich, right? Like, I mean, these are all things, right, that prove the system plays in his played in their favor, right?
And I think he had correct me if I'm wrong, did he have a relationship with the judge or had some type of...
Exactly. Well, like, well, you know, right, like, the story behind Jews and the law, right? Yeah. So, you know, back in the day, quick story.
Words
back
of in Byron. The day, all right, word.
You know, Jews basically, like, when they practiced, they tried to practice law, you know, basically, like, they couldn't get into the law firms. Because, you know, I mean, just like black folks, Jewish people get, you know, discriminated against as well, right? So shout out to our Jewish folks, even though y'all figured it out, and respect to that. And it's like, it was really, really tough for them to find opportunities in law professions when they wanted to practice law. So what they did is they started going into litigation. They started going into, like, into, you know, persecution roles, or they started going into or prosecutor roles, excuse me, or they started going into like, you know, traffic court, or all of these lower level things that typically wouldn't get, you know, recognition of the time of day, because most people, you know, white guys, white privileged males, would go into the large corporate law firms because it was noble to do that, right? It was respectable. That's what you aspire to be as an attorney. Whereas, you know, Jewish people had to be scrappy and find different ways to find their way in to the legal profession, or to take opportunities that were less, let's just say, less prestigious. Yeah. And yep. Over time, of course, you know, as things changed, and of course they blended in and proved their value and their worth, you know, essentially what happened is they became a part of the establishment. So naturally, they looked out for one another. Naturally, people are going to look out for one another. Shit, if we had more black judges, I mean, what would the legal system look like, right? Or what would the, you know, correctional system look like, right? I mean, probably would change. But anyways, that's a different topic. So it's not uncommon for Weinstein to have a friend in New York City or in LA and is a judge, or somebody that is related to the judge, or an attorney that's related to the judge. Because essentially they're all from the same brotherhood. They probably even go to the same synagogues together, you know? But it's just wild. It just shows the duality or the double standard in the law.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Very blatantly.
Definitely.
I mean, like, think about it. What even happened to, like, what's happening right now with your boy from House of Cards?
I don't have no clue.
Nobody knows.
I mean, like, literally, Kevin Spacey just disappeared. And we don't hear anything about that. And it was clear he did some fucked up shit to some little boys.
Yeah, whoever his PR person, they just said, hey, I don't want to hear a peep, like, from you for, like, a good couple of months.
Well, couple years.
Well, does Me Too, like, extend to, like, men, per se? Like, because with the Aja Argento thing, it came out that she basically sexually assaulted this kid that was like 17. She had sex with him, and it was like, you know, an illegal thing or whatever. And like, Joe Rogan came out, it's like, what are you complaining for? Like, you're a guy, blah blah blah, like you can't be sexually assaulted if you're a man. Like, I don't think socially we accept that.
Well, it's a weird conversation, right? Because, like, literally, like, it's funny, I had a conversation, man, with the guy I'm not gonna bring up on air, but he had, you know, an issue like that, where he grew up and he was sexually assaulted by, like, family members and by, like, people that he knew in the neighborhood. Like, and, you know, it's like, that's really, like, fucked up. Like, and he can't talk about it because he's a dude. But it's like, it goes back to the whole mental health shit in the black community. It's like, why can't, if we speak up about our problems, we immediately get held back in, you know, LD classes. Yeah. Right? Or you get, you're somehow, like, labeled as, oh, you're a problem.
You're yeah. troubled.
You know? Rather than actually being able to deal with those things. And I feel like men, in many ways, often are in those positions because we're supposed to be such a, like, bulletproof thing.
Nah, yeah. yeah. You know what I mean? It starts when you're young. Like, when you, like, when kids dealing stuff at home or, like, those type of, those issues, those situations, like, you know, and then they have, you know, they don't always have the best way of just dealing with it. So those kids are the ones that lash out. Those are the kids that act up. And then, you know, the school is just like, oh, yeah, like, you know, this is like a troubled teen, troubled youth, whatever. And then they get put, you know, whether if shit escalates, they either get put out of the school more so than other kids, other non-black, non-ethnic kids. Like, you know, there's different approaches to it. Like, I mean, I've had, like, I have friends who work in as counselors in a private, in a very upstanding private school. I'm not going to go too much into the detail name of the school, but it's just their look working there on the inside and just, like, looking at how just, like, some students are treated or, you know, how they're approached and, like, how even them, because they're people of color, and then how they're approached when they have to do their jobs and deal with those kids. And it's kind of crazy that it's just like, man, like, even when you're in it, like, even when you could do, you could make an effect, you know, make an impact, it's, the cards are still against you. Like, it's like, it's really tough. Like, it's really a problem.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's a really interesting just, you know, place. I mean, I was reading something actually today about this same thing where it talked about how the population is now becoming more skeptical. The U.S. population is becoming more skeptical of the Me Too movement in general because of some of these claims. Like, what are they grounded in? Which is actually an interesting, like, turn, like, of events. Whereas, I mean, a year ago, you know, the Me Too movement was everything, you know? And the year before that, like, bubbling around, the bubbling up till last year, like, you know, the Me Too movement was a very, very powerful voice of change in the United States. So it's interesting that there's now sort of this skepticism around, you know, what is sexual harassment or sexual assault? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a real question that needs to be, like, not addressed, but, like, both sides need to be a part of that conversation in defining what that is. Because the more, you know, in my opinion, the more that you exclude men from that conversation, the more that conversation just goes underground. Yeah. And that yeah. doesn't benefit women, because essentially what happens now is women are now wondering why they're not in the room for certain conversations. And because of that, you know, and that's because basically men are now having other conversations that they don't want to feel demonized about without you in those conversations, and you're wondering why, but it's because the thing that you wanted to, you know, basically eradicate or come to the table and actually have a conversation about is just now just underground and has gone covert. So it's just an interesting, like, state of affairs, you know, because in my opinion, again, I feel like it's just another form of divisiveness.
No, I'll just add this to even just close off the whole point. It's just, you know, it's I think what makes it so difficult, it's like a lot of the sexual assault, like those sexual cases, like there's a lot of gray areas. Like there's like no, it's never like, you know, it's like with the way it is with crime, it's like, all right, you rob a bank, whatever. It's like, it's pretty much like boom, like, all right, you robbed the bank, and there's not really like a gray area there. Yeah, you stole the money, yeah, you threatened the clerk or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like with, you know, with rape, sexual assault, it's like no case is the same. And even like the details, even the very details that make or break the case itself, legit could have you like one day you're just like, you know what? Like I thought about it over, especially think about the jury's point of view. I thought about it over. I don't think this person should be charged, you know, for sexual assault. But then you find out something new, or you've been told a different perspective, and you think about it again. You're like, you know what? Maybe this there was no consent. Maybe this person was taken advantage of, or, you know, or this person did not, you know, did not give consent. And I feel like it's so easy to look at it from both sides. At the same time, it's really hard to really narrow down to a clear cut. This is what sexual assault is, and this is what it should apply across the board.
No, I definitely agree. Like it's hard to figure out the truth a lot of times.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, the standard of how you go about it, and then also like in these situations, like figuring out the truth of the matter. Like it's very difficult because a lot of these cases that are being brought up, like, are a lot of he said, she said type deals, you know, and like. It like Byron said earlier, like it's been pretty divisive, like for America especially. Ooh, excuse me again with this kind of stuff. So it's a little. Ooh man, all this water I had earlier, burping it up. It's just really difficult. It's a difficult time, and like he said, like I feel like there should be conversation to figure out what this stuff is, but that's for a whole nother time, I guess.
Yeah, so with that said, you know, let's jump into some more music here. We got Hefe, which is basically one of T.I.'s new tracks featuring Meek Mill. And we'll jump right in.
No more apologizing for being excellent. From now on, man, fuck it. I'm just gonna be dope. And not apologize for it. I'm sorry I'm dope, nigga. Wrap your mind around it, embrace it. This is a fact of life. God, I am so good.
Yeah, fuck up that money, then make it again. I fuck her twice and I make her my friend. Shit, look at these haters, they hating again. I know they don't like it, they taking it in. And we making it back. She like Chanel, I'm a draper in that. She want the D, I've been waiting on that. I've been doing my thing, they been hating on that. And I mean what I said, I ain't taking it back. We get your chain, we ain't taking it back. Reach for my chain, catch your flesh, you for that. Only speaking my name when you stay in the facts. Please, I know we bought it too much. And all of these pretty hoes falling for us. I say, then I keep mommy and got it to us. If I give you my number, don't call me too much. Comprende? City to city, bad bitches and titties. She jump on the jet with me, she on the tour. I'm in Balenciaga, LeBron. My pockets on Benji and she in Dior. Flexing the grand just to look like you got it, but really you broke. Seen suckers pop shit on their Twitter like killers and really get smoked. No niggas that used to be trappers on Twitter just telling us jokes. While we getting money, just burning this bridge, trying to turn it to toast. For real, they say we talk about money too much, but maybe they ain't getting money enough. I say, Dima Lil Poppy, he come with a truck, he gon' make me a tab and I'm running it up. Gracias.
Let me welcome you, get introduced to the king. Bentley, Ferrari, brand new and they clean. So disappointed when niggas on shit on their record. You see them, don't do anything. Okay, killing these niggas with more than before. Been stuck in the shadows and back in the 90s. I'm about to forget it, the Glock in my pocket. Remind you, it plugged the whole city behind me. Spent hundreds of thousands, no millions on diamonds. In Philly, they go at me, Millie about me. I'm solid and thorough, stand up before. See these niggas, I just be like, what the fuck? Ain't no way in the hell you can fuck with her. Like a bad bitch with no furniture. I can't do nothing with her. Still hit her and them bad bitches who hung with her. That's how I do it, can't give you the formula. Don't stop me now, just warming up. Nigga be acting the fuck they performing. For leave her right there for the corner. Man, my business so bad she a foreigner. Ask them more in the tire, this formal. How we kicking they shit by the normal. We grand hustling, scheming and chasing our dream. Stacking that paper. Hearing my raps, you see me, you see what I mean. Dripping that flavor. Fuck nigga, hate them, but try me and split that potato. Then go sit and eat with the mayor. Skiing and veil. David Chappelle told me you niggas are funny as hell. Run to the smoke and then running the tail. Open the phone, put you under the jail. Damn. Mi amigo, hey, tranquilo, todo. Mira, yo quiero grande mota. Como se dice a lot of weed. Yeah, yo quiero grande mota, huh? Cocaína, mucho.
Thank you. did you not? Lie, tell me not to say another lie. Lie, tell me, about to play with you and lie. Oh, somebody like you is hard to find. Put a guard off of my eye. Know them niggas watching, they been keeping up and plotting, they been shit talking and hating that. Got a nigga cautious, thinking you would leave me. Trust and believe me, I know this shit is easy. I know they want to feed you. All the niggas thirsty, but you would never hurt me. Not like I hurt you, the shit I do is hurtful. You feel like a damn fool, I wish I had a man. You to better understand you. You say I'm a handful, I'm in your head like Cantu. I tell you what I can do, be a better man than you. This Henny made me ramble. Card ain't got no answer. Wrote this fucking anthem, alert you like it's Amber. Distress to my damsel. But she say I'm canceled, I just got back in touch with her, used to talk a lot. Used to down a ride, I can't do this hot and by. Don't see eye to eye, but I know that we got time to fix it, we not blind. Don't know what I'm implying, I'm missing my friend dying. Without you, I been trying, these bitches, they been whack. Can't take them to get crime, for dinner, we did that. Can't help it but nitpick the shit that they did that. Like throwing that shit back, you know that I missed that. I don't like the wit snatch, no, I like that shit natural. Big mad, cause I heard a nigga just bagged you. Big mad, cause you lied about it when I asked you. Fucked on her, but knew it wouldn't last. Even though she came fast, nigga, karma came faster. Seen you with the nigga in a pic, no caption. But the look up on your face say he better than the last one. Damn, card ain't got no answer. Wrote this fucking anthem, alert you like it's Amber. Distress to my damsel. But she say I'm canceled. Fuck, does that even mean? Don't sweat it, I forget you, but won't forget it. I just got into your through sketching. Got your number for your best friend. Yeah, yeah, I've been checking for you. No, you've been checking for me too. Why they like to meddle up and we do? Like they know the best for me and you. I just turned into your driveway. You were looking at me sideways. You were throwing dirt on my name.
All right, that was Bryson Tiller with Canceled, and before that, that was T.I. Meek Mill with Hefe. Let's get into the gaming news for my man Zan.
Yo, 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 you already know who it is. So let's get into the gaming corner out here. So we'll first start out with some announcements. Starting with Soul Calibur 6 comes out tomorrow.
Hey. Ready for that.
Yep. By the time you hear this, it'll already be out. But for all we know right now, present time, here and right now, the time 9:16, it is coming out tomorrow. So that there's been a lot of streams coming up for the game. There's actually was a stream today on Bandai Namco, quick stream, I guess, until release for the game. So they're really hyping up the game. The game looks good. Character creation, stories mode stuff, I've been hearing some good stuff about. So definitely look into it. Soul Calibur 6 out tomorrow, y'all. More announcements. Yo, so I feel like this was happening. I'm just going to say it. So there was a rumored N64 classic console leaked images or leaks online. I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to happen. I don't see the point of it. I'm just going to be straight out with it. I don't see the point of it.
I'll be honest with you. The N64 has, like, one of the trashiest controllers of all time.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. That controller was not... It was not... That was, like, poorly designed.
Yeah, so, like... Like, it's not going to have GoldenEye on there, but, you know, people are going to hack it and put GoldenEye on there. I'm not playing GoldenEye on an N64 controller again,
though. That's the most awkward...
Like, that was cool when we had to, but, like, yo, like, that was, what, months before PlayStation came out with, like, the second analog stick? Like, I'm never going back to that.
Nah. Yeah, I know, right?
You know?
Like, yo, we evolved, yo. We didn't come this far just to turn back.
I forget that. Nah, it's wild, dog.
But they do, like, the ports they have are, like, the same as, like, the Wii ones and, like, the, you know, the NES Mini and the Super Nintendo Mini, so... In theory, you could use those controllers, but none of those have the extra stick, so probably not worth trying to use it with it.
I just don't see game-wise, like I don't know what's going to be on it, but I feel like a lot of games... Oh,
you know what's going to be on it.
Exactly, you know, and it's the same game.
Super Mario 64, F-Zero X, Mario Kart 64, Super Smash Brothers, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask.
Yeah, like this is titles people already have on some other Wii console they own.
Yeah.
Yo, a lot of those games were also ported on the DS. I don't see the point. Fox 64.
Nintendo will get you, man.
It's crazy. I don't know. I felt this was coming. I really hope they didn't do it. And I'm like, focus your resources elsewhere. But, hey, it's leaks. It's rumors. So we'll see. We'll get into it when it actually comes out. And then we'll save our comments till then.
Yeah.
So more news. So there's been a lot of, you know, going off of leaks. There's been more leaks, more rumors about potential Marvel vs. Capcom 4.
That'd be cool.
It would be, because MCI kind of took a nosedive after people play the game, even after updates. It still wasn't what people wanted it to be. But, so a lot of people said the game was dead, but apparently there's been rumors, leaks coming out about a potential, it's supposed to be a MVCI revamp, but it's going to be called MVC4. And we're not going to hear anything about it anytime soon. They're truly trying really hard to keep it under wraps. But supposedly, this guy who came out with the leak was the same guy who was coming out leaks for MVCI before and for leaks for Marvel 3 and I think some Street Fighter leaks. So they're a reputable source. So people are kind of taking their word for it, especially now. There's been a recent... I guess, is this a leak with the notes? Would you call it a leak?
No, it's official.
Official. So this official MVCI update patch notes, and they look extensive. Me and Tax just looked at them.
It's wild.
And it's legit. Like, yeah, it's wild. A lot of general changes. This is just from looking, just scrolling down. A lot of general changes. And Dante, for whatever reason, has an essay of changes.
Oh, yeah, they're going to break that man's legs.
Like, I thought his legs were already broken.
No.
Like, how are you...
You ain't seen nothing yet.
That's wild.
Dante's going to be paraplegic.
They need to chill out. How are you going to do that with DMC5 on the way?
They don't care, dog.
Damn, they don't care. They really don't. That's crazy. But we'll definitely get more information on that the more we look into it. Because Marvel's Capcom has been on the news lately for gaming, for fighting games particularly. So we'll definitely, when more comes out, there's definitely going to be more news. We'll definitely keep y'all posted. So real quick, I'm going to do a quick review on Black Ops 4. I got the game on the day of release and have been playing it over the weekend for a good amount and a little bit during this week as well. I have to say, even after I played with a shout out to Blazing Cool Breeze, you know, shout out to Larry, we did some co-op and we actually got to talk about the game. The game feels nice. I think it's legit. Like, it's definitely a solid Call of Duty game since Modern Warfare 2.
Mm.
It definitely feels nice. I feel like it's like the, you know, the whole balancing. There's something cheap everywhere. Yeah. So it feels like it's balanced that way. A lot of the classes, the heroes, like, they made things easier with, like, taking some people's perks and making other people's abilities and kind of keeping the core perks there, like cold-blooded, lightweight, marathon, like, stuff like that. That's still around, but, like, and in a sense, the game still feels balanced. Shotguns are complete cheeks, though. Shotguns are ass. You're not killing anyone with a shotgun.
Wow.
If I have a pistol and you have a shotgun, I have the high ground. That's legit what it is. Straight up. For the modes of the game, it kind of looks a little lackluster at first when you first look at the screen of what you can play, but there's actually a lot there, especially like there's actually for multiplayer, because you would think everyone just be on Blackout, which is the Fortnite, Battle Royale-esque mode for Black Ops 4, which is ill. I do like it. I'll have to say though, like, I feel like compared to Fortnite, you have to be really on your knee. You really got to be, like, you got to keep your eyes peeled at all times. Like legit, your eyes peeled at all times. It's kind of wild, like, the map itself that you're in and having to take account that, like, I could get flanked, ambushed, whatever, at all sides. Whereas Fortnite, and it's first person. Fortnite was third person. Yeah. So every time you look at the screen, you have a pretty good view of basically what's around you. Well, Black Ops 4 is first person. So it's pretty much more tunnel vision. You know, we see what's in front of you. You can't really see. Your peripherals are not that good, and you have no idea what's behind you. So, like, you literally just always watching your back. And, but I would say, though, the mode is fun. I definitely encourage people to play it, to get the game, actually. I actually really do encourage people to get the game. It's a fun game. It's definitely funner to play with other people because, less like all the games, you actually really want to party up and communicate. That's literally how you're going to get through freaking the battle royale mode. Getting through it by yourself or try to coordinate landing with people that you have no communication with, it's just not going to work out. Overall, the game's good. I did not get to do zombies, though, but people told me, I've talked to people, they made some changes. Zombies are actually harder, even on the normal modes, than they were on other, and then compared to, like, the harder difficulties in the other past Black Ops games. But I'm definitely going to give it a try. I feel like assault rifles are kind of strong right now. Quick scoping is back, so it's going to be a matter of time where everyone's quick scoping everywhere. But the game has a pretty good balance, and it's fun. I give it a thumbs up.
I might check it out then, you know. Like, saying it's, like, one of the better ones since Modern Warfare 2 is a bold claim, but I'll give it a shot. Modern Warfare 2 was, like, revolutionary.
It was revolutionary, but I feel like this is legit a solid, super solid Call of Duty game, dog. All
right, so we'll give that a shot. I'll probably pick it up soon or see if Ray want to go half on it or something like that.
We'll check it out. Get Pretty Guns back.
Facts. You're not ready for Pretty Guns, dog. We was destroying in Titanfall 1 and 2, and then they don't want us to come back. But we got anything else for gaming? That's it.
Right now game is pretty much wrapped up for now. Other stuff we will probably save for another day, you know. Can't show our old hand, right?
Yeah, it's been a little light for gaming too, I think, but it's all good. We'll be back next week with some more. Let's jump back into some more music though. We got Pair of Dice by Jaden Mule, and we got something from Drama, and we'll be right back.
Big boss on it, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know the half of it.
I'm gonna turn up on.
Oh,
do what they said we can't do. Yeah. I taught them. Find that motherfucker we learned. Yeah.
One thing I was taught, never forget where you come from. I just go when I walk on. Fresh to death, like I jump out the car on. I got money to get. Don't waste my time with your talk on. Don't want no bougie ass bitch, cause we ain't got shit in common. I let my women chocolate, skin melt when you lick it. She thick as fuck, I'm bout to bit it. She don't trip off a nigga. But if I told you that I dream all of the days that I live, got me thinking to myself, like how much longer to live. Smoke a blunt, forget. Got this money to get. Sister tripping this shit. Miss it when we was kids. Tears falling down my face. Sometimes it's pain I can't take. Baby mama echoed, so now I'm going my work. It's like a nigga lost his way and now I'm going to strut. Father, I need you. Don't fuck with these people. Don't do interviews, that's too much like telling my bitch. Wanna hop out of the Bentley, smelling like premium pressure. I got money on my mind. 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 I know what you're gonna say. I deal with losses these days. But turn of these suits my way. You foul restraining orders, crossing borders. I had dreams of taking you across the border. Oceans, you wanna see it right. You let me throw a lime and it made me feel away. You know I'm right. You let me throw a lime and it made me feel away. Your speakers do it. I know
never fuck you like I can. He can make you come like I can. I got money on my mind. Fuck these bitches.
Back, that was Drum with Best Hugs. Apparently your girl gives the best hugs.
That is wild. A crazy fucking song. That's like disrespectful low-key. Like I walk up to you singing that song like your girl gives the best hugs.
If it's that catchy though, I'm not gonna be that mad because low-key, you did it in a catchy though, way, but we're still fighting,
you know what
we're
I
just,
mean
I'm just gonna like jam with you real quick. I'm like, yeah, my girl gives the best hug. I said, all right, put him up now, nigga. Like, we're squaring out right now.
Trying to slap box dog.
My girl ain't even that friendly, dog. If the song was like your girl makes the best buffalo chicken dip, then cool, but like
nah, you still, some of that is still a level of disrespect.
Hey, which is true, yo. Behind. Shout out to Taxes, yo, lady fam. Yo, she makes the best buffalo chicken dip, hands down.
Facts. I worked hard on that. I executive produced the buffalo chicken
dip. You're wild for that. I hope you get no royalties off that dip.
Now, I was telling him that, like, I was, like, really contemplating, because we brought, like, two, like, containers of it. And I was like, yo, we should really take that second container.
So, for context, we had, like, this board game night last Friday, Saturday. And they brought this banging-ass buffalo chicken dip. Continue.
Yeah, and I was like, yo, we should really take that other one because they ain't even touch it yet. And she was like, nah, because we have a little extra at the crib. So, I was like, all right. Well, I mean, like, worst case, like, you know, they gonna find it tomorrow and be good. And then I ended up with that's exactly what happened.
Yo, that Sunday, fam. That Sunday, it was just well timed. Like, I looked in the fridge, and my shorty was, you know, she was at the fridge. She looked in the fridge, and I was like, "Is that buffalo chicken dip?" And she was like, "Yeah, we still got buffalo chicken dip." And I was like, "Oh." Like, I had one of those Homer Simpson moments, you know? Like,
straight instant drool, dog. Yeah. And producing milliliters of saliva in, like, 0.3 seconds.
Like,
dog.
Such a fat kid. I wouldn't even... I bought a bag of tortilla chips just for that.
Yeah, that's real. Like, you run to the store and just get chips. They're like, you ain't did with that? Like, nah.
No, nah, because we already got the dope. We had to do the same thing.
You just out? You're mad confident? Damn.
You know? I was just in and out.
Got the dip.
No. Blue corn chips? Yo, back home.
Damn, blue corn? Damn, you really thought about it, dog.
Bro, I was plat.
Yeah, nah, we had to do the same thing because like, we bought some stuff for breakfast, and I was like, yo, we need something for the, we need some chips for that dip back at the crib.
That's crazy.
But. Watch how I spin this into a topic. So speaking of ladies, dips. Speaking of ladies, so Pusha T came out and told the world how he ended up getting the information on Drake. Ended up not being Kanye, but actually a lady that 40 was seeing and pillow talking with. How you guys feel about the concept of pillow talking on someone of that scale?
But all
right. It's kind of wild, right?
Yeah, because thing is, how did she know?
Because he told her everything. But pillow talking.
So there's these conflicting narratives, dog. I feel like, look, Push and Drake just need to slap box and just get it over with.
All they do.
You know what I mean? But like, at the end of the day, like Drake, so Drake comes on the shop and he talks about the fuckery that Ye did. So he's in the studio with Ye. And, you know, Ye is, you know, talking to him, trying to understand, you know, like, what he's been going through. Because he's trying to get some, sell some beats to him. As well as Drake, you know, is giving him a piece of his life so he can, you know, they can basically open up and write together on Ye's project. Because he invites him, you know, to the middle of bumfuck nowhere to record together, right?
That's the best place to get shit done.
Facts. So, you know, him and Drake are working together on projects, and essentially Drake basically, like, helps, like, write, you know, a lot of the hits on Ye. I mean, he wrote the lead single on Ye, you know what I mean? And for him, he was just hoping to get one of the tracks out of that, you know, where he would have his voice on it, which was supposed to be the Lift Yourself track. And then they put out the Lift Yourself track, and he hears that shit, and he's like, what the fuck? I didn't write that bullshit, you know what I mean? And the track, you know, comes out. The Lift Yourself track comes out. And then a couple weeks later...
Damn, I like Lift
Yourself. You hear this Pusha T this. And it's just like, yo, I just spent time, yo, giving you a piece of my life and working with you on this album. I let you hear the track, a really personal track that was coming out on my project that... I told you about and gave you the lowdown on and the story and the backstory about. And then I hear this diss record from your man. First of all, like, he's in the studio with you. So how does that even happen? Without you two having a conversation?
Damn, that's the big question.
You know what I mean? So it's an interesting, it's an interesting story, right? Because, I mean, you got to think, right, okay.
Yeah, Drake's in a position. He's like, yo, there's nothing to tell me to not think it was you.
Right. Like, it's Ye.
That's crazy. The shots he's taking at him, took at him.
Right.
And Kim, I mean, at Scorpion.
Well, and the thing is, right? I mean, if he would have dropped the supposed diss record, right? I mean, what would we be saying about Kanye?
The career-ending record? The legendary...
The
alleged...
Career-ending record?
You're holding your breath.
I'm not even gonna hold my breath. I just don't think it's gonna be. I never thought it was gonna be career ending by any means. I didn't think it was that damaging. And like, Drake went out and said like, oh well, like, you know, there's rules, blah blah blah. But then like, you know, the fact that he was really putting, like, it's true that he was putting up $100,000 to anybody that was gonna give information to Pusha T. Like, on Joe Budden's podcast, he is playing phone calls of people calling around asking for that stuff.
Yeah. I mean...
So I'm like, where are these... like you said that there's rules, but then you're not playing by these said rules.
Well, it's interesting, right? Like Styles P actually had a comment on this on Ebro, right? Like, and he was talking about how one, like, as a writer, as a person that doesn't even write his shit, you can't technically make up the rules. Which I thought was an interesting.
That's
an interesting just point of view in general.
Yoinks,
and he also noted that, like, yo, Drake kind of crossed the line in the first diss when he mentioned Push's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I wonder.
It all goes back to that.
Right. So it's an interesting. Again, it's an interesting conflict. And personally, I don't think it's the end of what we're actually, like, seeing. Like I think we're gonna hear more diss records, even though, like,
yeah, I think they're gonna
Jay Prince is tried to de-escalate this. I think it's gonna go back to the rap.
So the beef is basically only in an intermission, pretty much.
That's yeah, I think what it's just on intermission.
And it's, it keeps happening though. It's kind of weird though, right? Like it's like, you know, I'm curious to know what's the origin of this beef, anyways.
I mean, some people credit it to, like, you know, them, like a beef between, like, Wayne and Clips, basically, where, like, Wayne dissed Clips, like, openly about like, wearing Bape. He's like, oh, well, I've been wearing Bape, fuck Clips, that kind of thing. And then, like, Pusha dissed Wayne a couple times, and I think Drake said something slick, Exodus, so he's like, all right, well, you're gonna get it too.
23-1.
Yeah. So I think it's that, like, damn, I had something, like, worthwhile to say, and I forgot. Oh, so, like, here's the thing about, like, war, right?
Yeah.
There's certain things that you guys agree upon, like, as far as, like, war. Like, a lot of the wars now, especially, like, with the UN, they're, like, no nuclear weapons, cool. But, like, if we played by the rules, like, these quote-unquote rules that they're supposed to be, like, there would be no America. Like, if we fought Great Britain the way that they fought us, we'd have got wiped out.
True.
Like, guerrilla warfare is a thing because of that, of, like, you know, the Civil War. Well, not Civil War, sorry. Like, the war we had with Great Britain to get our freedom. Mm-hmm. And, like, imagine if Britain was like, nah, chill, y'all ain't playing by the rules. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nah, like, in war, you do what's necessary. It's the same thing with, like, rap beef. Like, you know, you enter this knowing that you're in conflict with somebody. You know that things are going to go a certain way. Like, you name-dropped his fiance at the time. Like, it could have gotten physical, but he's like, okay, you want to play like that? Let's go. And, like, thankfully, like, Pusha was just like, I'm going to keep it rap. Because, like, honestly, like, Drake's a great guy. Like, I don't see him really doing anything, like, you know, street type shit. I mean, this is why people like Jay Prince and stuff like that jump in and stuff like that. Like, that's not how Drake is, man. Like, let that man be the pop star. He's just, like, a little dumbfounded because, like, you know, he lost this. Mm. It's okay to lose. Like, just hold the L and keep it moving. Like,
yeah, it's interesting though, man. I think when you look at it all, like, I mean, at the end of the day, Kanye has a lot to answer for in all of this. And he's the missing piece that's been silent, like, almost creating this controversy purposely.
Hey, yo, my man's in Uganda right now passing out Yeezys, dog. You don't got time for this.
What is about that? Let's talk about that. What about that?
So, my man Ye was in Uganda recently. This was apparently to finish up work on Yandy, which is supposedly going to release on the 23rd, November 23rd, as people thought, around Black Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday.
Didn't he do that
before?
I thought he also dropped, what's it called, Good Music. I thought, okay. Not going off tangent, but so he was in a...
I'm not there today.
Yeah, you're not here. It's all good. So he was in Uganda, also behind what you were saying, Byron?
What?
Because he was also there on behalf of not only for his album, but
the UN.
Yeah, the UN.
Mm-hmm.
So on a
mission trip.
Yep, so he was on a mission trip. So when he was there, so he passed out to all the kids pairs of Yeezys. I believe it's the new ones that came out.
The 350 boost.
Yeah. 350 boost. All right. And he also slid a pair to the country's president, also during their meeting. And there was a clip where he was that the school, Byron?
Yeah, the school where he's with basically a choir of kids, and they're singing. And they're singing something that I think might even be a preview of what we may get on the album.
Hey, he was working on the album there. Even that might be some, that might be the intro. That might be some interludes.
It would be interesting, man.
Or it could be one of I bet for him, it's probably like, yo, this will be one of my best tracks on the album.
Could be. I mean, it's, you know, Africa is a very interesting place for sounds. I mean, there are a lot of native sounds that are grouped up into this whole world music category. But there are just so many other sounds that have yet to be uncovered across the continent. And I think, you know, people like Kanye, people like Drake, people like, you know, Chance, any of these artists, right? Like, you know, who have that ability to sort of mine these sounds, I mean, are going to be coming back or putting out records that, you know, are completely unheard of to people. And I don't imagine that, you know, Kanye wasn't, you know, wasn't, I don't think that he wasn't like opportunistic in saying, oh shit, I got this choir of kids here. Let me grab some of their voices. Chop for these real. Joints up real fast.
And this is the same dude, you know, like last week he was in the White House just chumming it up with Trump real quick, you know, had that talk. And now my man's like, oh, I need to get to Uganda to work on his album. And, you know, work on this, be part of the UN, this UN mission with kids. Like, my man's all over the place, fam.
Yeah. He's an interesting, like, character, man. But I think the thing about him is not his greatness, right? Like, it's one of those things where, you know, I looked at the Quincy Jones documentary the other day.
You know, I was trying to finish that, but,
you know,
my lady just wasn't having it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, yeah,
but it was really good.
It's a really good documentary. Yeah. And it just shows that, like, okay, so if we're comparing legends here, right? Honestly, in my opinion, Kanye West doesn't fit the bill as a legend. I mean, what the work, the body of work and the things that Quincy Jones has done, not only for music, but for the culture as a whole, are iconic.
Facts.
The shit that Kanye's doing is more like National Enquirer. You know what I mean? If we were comparing like Kanye being a publication, right? Like, and Quincy Jones being a publication, like Quincy Jones would be the equivalent of the New York Times, and Kanye West would be the equivalent of the National Enquirer.
Damn, you said the National Enquirer.
I get what you're saying.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying too.
I mean, literally, like when you think about it, like he's a troll. He trolls the public.
He does. He'll do something meaningful for 1 second. You're like, oh, damn, Kanye out here doing this and that. And the next second, he's either saying something out from left field that, like, you're just like, yo, what is this man going on about right now? I just feel like he's unpredictable, and I think he prides himself on that.
Well, I think he does, too. And I think, of course, that's, like, what makes his art, right, like, expressive and very like personal and always relevant.
But tell me though, you saw the Quincy Jones documentary. So you would say is he like an exact opposite of Kanye? But how is he? How would you?
So what I'll, did you I'll, learn from I'll that? Use I'll take a scene from it as an example. So you know he's the architect behind the Black History Museum. Like he was like an executive producer for the African American History Museum in D.C. And there was a part in the documentary in particular where he's walking through, you know, the period of like pop culture's explosion and black folks' contributions to black culture. And he's walking through, man, and he's looking at all the artifacts that they have in the exhibit. And he sees, you know, Michael Jackson's jacket. You know, he sees, you know, like, I mean, you know, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, like pictures of her. And he sees all of these people, man, from the past that he's worked with. And he's like, man, they're gone. Like, and he's like this last pillar standing. And when you think about that, right? Like, his contributions. He sees Prince, right? Like, he had a contribution to all of their careers.
Yep.
And not only just a contribution, a hand in it, like, he wrote their hits.
Yeah.
He gave hip-hop a voice in the press when they didn't have a press through Vibe magazine. He's the mind behind that.
Mm. Yeah, I also forgot about
You know what I mean? Like, this guy has always opened doors. Not only that, but he's been a student, a disciple of the music. Like, when you look at it from that perspective, like, and you could throw Harry Belafonte in those same conversations, right? Like, when you look at it from that perspective, and then you look at people like, even people like Kanye and Jay-Z, man, like, you got to ask the question, like, what are they really doing for culture? Are they extracting from culture, or are they contributing to culture? And when you put the lens of, like, what's happened historically in terms of our forefathers, right, who have paved the way, like, when you look at things from that lens, rather than how cool shit is, you got to start asking questions. Like, are these folks just, you know, is it just bravado masquerading, you know? Like is it just, you know, bravado masquerading, like when there's help under there, that's what they really out what they're really seeking? Like attention for something? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. It just makes you, to me, it made me really take a hard look at the culture. Like, what do we really worship? Do we worship the cool, or do we worship the contributions?
No, I get you on that, and I definitely think it's the latter. Like, I mean, the former, where we just, like, we like the cool stuff, but, like, I think, like, when Kanye mentioned in, like, well, when Drake mentioned in that shop interview that he said he wanted to be, like, Quincy Jones for him, like, he definitely meant in the music space, and I mean, like, it's a good aspiration, but Quincy's legacy is just ridiculous. And I think to that point, though, it's like Kanye's just thinking of the music. Like, he's not even thinking of the other stuff he did outside of music or for, you know, us as a people in general through music, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's also like, we got to think about, like, at the end of the day, right? The thing that always gets me, right, and I'll get off my soapbox, is when we look at where we are just as a people, especially black folks, oftentimes, man, we often pigeonhole to the idea of being a mic holder or some kind of ball holder, or in Serena's case, a racket holder. And at what point, man, do we start, like changing up that narrative? You know what I mean? Like, at what point do we start questioning that narrative and, like, celebrating the successes behind the scenes that make that narrative possible? Because that's actually what's really cool. The business minds, right? The global head of Beats by Dre, who made the campaign that made Beats by Dre the headphone that you wanted to wear. Like, that's a black dude. Why are we not talking about that? Fuck the bullshit Ye is doing. Virgil Abloh becoming the creative director at Louis Vuitton. That's a real story. Why do we not talk more about that shit? And not just the shit he makes, like Off-White. That's cool, but his story of how he's become who he's become is way more important.
True. That's the goal. That's the real goal.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's interesting, man. Like, I feel like we got to figure out that way past
the fucking smoke and mirrors. Yeah, we got to recognize. You
know what I mean? Well, it's the generation we live in. It's a very, like, you know, like, fast food kind of generation.
Artificial,
like,
kind
of. Yeah, like, nobody cares about, like, the story. We care about the results, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a point in time where we did appreciate that kind of stuff. I don't think that's there anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's just an interesting time, man. And I think, you know, I can appreciate what we're doing, you know, more and more, like, because we are sort of providing that lens, you know. But it's like, for folks listening, like, that's an important thing, man. Focus on the story. Where's the kernel of truth, you know, that you can find in this bullshit?
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. Let's get into some quick new music, and then let's talk about T.I.'s album, and then let's get out of here. This week, really, it's just Khalid and Lil Yachty that's dropping that I've seen so far. Maybe we'll get a surprise album from somebody again.
But yeah, yeah.
That's all I've seen so far. How you guys feel about Dime Trap?
I mean, honestly, I'm not excited.
Nah, it wasn't... I don't feel like it was a strong T.I. album compared to, like, compared to what he dropped in the past. Even just, like, singles. Like, I just think of songs like that song. Like, I'll listen to the album, and then it just, some tracks, I was just like, yo, he could have came harder. I think he really tried to, there's a lot of conscientious, like, he was being real, like, you know, heart to heart. But I just feel like he kind of delivered the message. I feel like he didn't deliver the message, like, in his own way, like he did in the past with his other music.
Yeah.
I feel like he kind of is like, I don't know. He felt like, not saying he fell out of touch, but I feel like this album didn't have his, it didn't have his touch in it.
Yeah, I got to listen to it in full. I've checked out a couple songs, but so far I can see where you're going with it.
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, I really don't know what to expect from it all. And I mean, honestly, Tip is one of those Kanye types, in my opinion, you know? You're smart. Both are really, really smart men. But I gotta ask the question, like, you know, what's the contribution, you know, that you're making outside of you just donating, you know? Because I feel like when you start peeling back the layers in terms of the contribution, then you start to really realize, you know, who feeds who.
I wouldn't even say that about T.I. like that, because I feel like he be the one that be like, he actually be like magnifying the lens, especially about, like, because even in one song, like, in all his songs, a lot of his songs, he just be like, I rap about, you know, growing up, you know, being a duffel bag boy, being, you know, selling dope, stuff like that. But he's just like, but me and the people around me, we didn't do it because we wanted to. We didn't do it because it was fun. That was the options we had. And even within that realm of, like, trapping, like, selling drugs, there was still a code that, like, they even still stood by, because, like, everybody knew, like, we're doing this to put food on the table, to provide for, you know, provide for your brothers and sisters, to provide for your family, and just, like, to take care of yourself. Like, it was... It's like, he knows how to flip it. Like, he just knows how to make a song, like, you be like, yeah, like, you know, we talk about Push. Like, Push me, when Push drop, like, music, he makes you want to, like, quit your job and, like, spend your savings, try to, like, you know, turn your house into a trap house. Like, real talk, he try to have you push bricks.
I can't lie, that Daytona shit did make me want to, like, sell dope.
Yeah.
Facts.
I was about to buy a brick.
Like, T.I. will do the same thing. T.I. will have a song where you're just like, yo, like, I'm like, yo, dog, real talk, I'm selling crack tomorrow, facts. Like, and then he'll drop another song, and then you just be like, damn, dog, like, yo, shit's rough out here, dog. We really gotta, like, you know, that life is not what it looks like. It's not all, like, all right, we're, like, it's not all sipping lean and, like, you know, tossing bills up at a strip club. You know, because, you know, ATL. But I'm just saying, like, it's just not, like, that's not how the life, that's not how you shouldn't perceive it. And don't, and he's like, don't glorify it either like that. Because, like, you know, he's just like, he lost mad people that way. And, like, his music, he went deep into his music. I just feel like he didn't deliver it in the way that we come to, like, know T.I. for.
All right. I'll check it out.
Yeah, no, still check it out. There's some stuff here and there. I just felt overall, I was just like, where is the heat?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'll check it out. I'll finish listening to it and check it out.
Cool. Hey, well, any closing words for the show?
Cool. Before we get out of here, listen, 7 Days, 6 Nights by Byron the Poet. It's out now.
Yeah, you got to check that out.
On all streaming platforms.
Yeah.
Definitely go check that out.
That concept album is really cool. It's really cool. We'll talk about it next time.
We got a new single from Tax called Diana. Check it out on all streaming platforms.
Hey.
Definitely.
Yes.
I had something else. Let me check my notes real quick.
Some heat for these brick ass days, dog. This weather out here.
Listen,
we need some heat.
While we're on the subject of us, check out our website, thefutureperfected.com. We've updated it quite a bit. So I'm interested in the feedback. So right there, you can listen to the episodes when they get uploaded Monday there. They sit there for a week and then they rotate it out and get a little insight on what we do. And then also it has links to, you know, Anchor, where you can listen to the podcast elsewhere if you'd like to, including Spotify, which we're now on Spotify. So you can follow us on Spotify, our profile, Official Future Perfect, to get the playlists when we release them. And then also you can find us on Spotify, the show, Future Perfect. So we can stay up to date that way, too. So it's been an influx of support from listeners and stuff like that. We appreciate that. Ooh, excuse me. Experienced the highest numbers we've experienced so far this past week, and it's only going up. So thank you guys for tuning in. And we want to give you more options to tune in. So definitely check us out on Spotify and other places, too. And that's all I got. What about you guys?
Take us away.
So, we're going to get into these last two songs. We got Trippin' featuring Khalid by Buddy, and then we have Wannabe by The Internet. So, you guys, have a good night. We're getting the fuck out of here.
Yes, sir.
Sippin', got me twisted, I'm living, got me trippin', no feelings, man, no feelings, got me flippin', I'm trippin',
yeah,
trippin'.
Oh, you wanna roll with the big dogs, smoke a little drug with the big dogs, pass that, hen dog, take one shot, then the Evo, put the tab on your tongue, let it dissolve, and I got something to share, you can get involved, listen to Grateful Dead and I'm trippin' balls, hop in that UFO and I lift off, yeah, fuck your plug, fuck your drugs, I got my own, nigga, took a stem and the caps to the dome, nigga, I ain't been this high since Coachella, new level, I can feel it, psychedelic, please do not fuck with my energy, is you my friend or my enemy, I can do this till infinity,
sippin', got me twisted, Living, got me trippin', oh. No feelings, man, no feelings, got me flippin', oh. I'm trippin', I what? I'm sippin', got me twisted, oh. I'm catching all the energy you're giving, laying on the ceiling, man, I feel like I could touch the clouds.
Hey,
trippin',
yeah. Again, I'm coming down Melrose, running a checker for cardio, smoking Luigi, eating at Mario's. What can I let see how far we go off the shits when I'm in the studio? Tripping on acid with Rufio, minds turn into kaleidoscopes. I think I'm going delusional, brain dead, mind gone, warp speed, flying through time zones. Roll a blunt out of my lung, can a young nigga get his shine on? Pour the liquor on my tombstone, when I die, bet I get my halo, cause I aim high, never aim low, about to take off like Quavo.
Sippin', got me twisted, living, got me trippin', oh. No feelings, man, no feelings, got me flippin', oh. I'm trippin', I what? Sippin', got me twisted, oh. I'm catching all the energy you're giving, laying on the ceiling, man, I feel like I could touch the clouds. I'm trippin', oh.
Call. What's up with you? Get your life together, nigga. Call me back. You tripping.